with 21 correspondents in 7 countries from around the world. This is Bondi Tunes International.
This is Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around the world. I'm Henry on Bondi Beach in Sydney, Australia. I'm joined by Ender Caldwell. He is the man who does the voice at the beginning of this show and at many points during the show. Ender joins me from Ireland. Welcome. You're a good friend of ours. You've been doing the voice for our show for all these years, and it's lovely to have you on air.
Oh, lovely to have you and to be on air with you, Henry. When was it that we first began to speak, and when did you first start Bondi Tunes? Remind me again.
Oh my God. Okay. It was 11 years ago on March 15th, 2009. I'm not sure if you did the voice work for that, because I don't think you did at that time. But of course, we've known each other because you're in the broadcast industry, we've known each other for a long time, really.
For years.
Before,
and as many friends, both past and still with us, who will be listening to this. So it's wonderful that they're tuned in as well.
Yep, indeed. I was just listening to Bob Gallico and Peter Madison on Magic 103 from 1985. And it was such a lovely time in radio in Ireland. I did the news on that station myself. But let's not get too anoraky, shall we? You've been all over the place. And I'm not sure how you're getting around during this global coronavirus pandemic. But you spent 3 months in Vermont. In the States. And tell me what your experiences were, because that was early March, where, you know, the president of that country wasn't even admitting that you had a virus.
Well, Henry, you know, first of all, that week was interesting in Ireland and USA, because it was still, Trump was still living in denial about coronavirus. It was probably the week or the week after he had said, what, it's a hoax virus, you know. After that, I was thinking, okay, let's test this for what it's worth. And I was due to visit my sister anyway, because I hadn't seen her in a while. And I was due to kind of just head over and chill out for a few months anyway, you know, and just spend some time with my nieces and nephews, my brother-in-law and everyone. Mm-hmm. So the aim of the game was just to go out there, and maybe they're going to move home from South Burlington in Vermont to Fort Myers in Florida, of all places.
Oh, my God.
And I know, exactly. Now you get it. But, you know, they had to get their house painted up and sold and bits and bobs done for that. So I was going to be the handyman as well while I was there. So that all worked out fine. But it was very interesting how the Irish government and the UK government were dealing with it that week as well. In living again in total denial, everyone was allowed to go to Cheltenham. I think that was a terrible thing, because all of the Irish people that went over to Cheltenham, and then the spike in cases and spike in actual, you know, positive cases after that. Then, of course, there were all these people flying back from their skiing holidays, which they'd taken in February and, you know, March, which was still the height of ski season. They were coming back even to my own hometown and giving coronavirus to other people. There were younger people in their 20s and whatever. And then you could just see then it's just, you know, the complete awful way that most of the governments in the world have dealt with this, and the mixed messages and, you know, the inequalities that have existed since that have just been astounding. But we begin to see then who our leaders really are, and why they want to take control of us. And every time you now go into a store, you've got to use a card. You know, most places are trying to get you to use a card. Yeah, they don't want you to use cash anymore.
Oh, I see what you mean.
It's part of the new world order.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories on stuff like this, and I actually will buy into this one, because they can't tax cash.
Yeah,
but they can charge interest on credit cards. So that's an interesting.
That's it.
Interesting.
Thought. They can see your movements as well. They can easily spot that. Contact trace you and go, yeah, you were standing in that shop talking to that assistant at that time. And
of contact tracing apps, we had one in the dollars, and they never they never found one case due to putting these apps on people's phones. There's a lot of stuff going on about how much we, the taxpayer, paid for this app that just doesn't work. Do they try this app in America when you're there? Or probably too soon then.
I have the Irish one here right on my phone as I speak to you, just as you're talking about it, the COVID-19 tracker, cases by county. Okay, name a random county outside of Dublin, not Meath.
I was going to say Meath. How about Limerick?
Yeah, Limerick, good place for ham, although just maybe stay off the ham for the moment. 592% cases by county. So if we go to Dublin, it's 48% of cases, 12,411. So it leads me to wonder, and Kildare seems to be, you know, 1,525 with 6%. I don't know where these numbers are coming from. And do we believe them? You know, 25,000 cases in Ireland. I mean, let's not even just talk about Ireland and Australia. Let's look at the positives in it. New Zealand, how about that? How well have they done?
Very well. Very well. They got it early. And you, just to your point earlier on in our broadcast, the problem is that most nations didn't start up soon enough, whereas New Zealand was right onto it. And we are their neighbour, obviously, in Australia. And they, Jacinda Ardern, who is their Prime Minister, immediately shut down Australians going to New Zealand, unless there were New Zealanders going back to New Zealand.
Well, I've a friend in New Zealand that I met that time after I met you, and she's very anti, is it the Labour Party? But she's anti whatever Lucinda is. And I'm like, but she's why? Labour, I don't challenge her. I think she's very good. I've actually watched her, not only just physical demeanour, but her body language. Mm-hmm. And you can almost tell that she's a very natural person. There is no fakeness going on there. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised at Australia that they didn't exactly take the same approach as New Zealand. But I think Australia had done well to a point. But what's going on in Melbourne?
Yeah, not good in the state of Victoria. The cases are going through the roof as we record, and it's getting worse every day. Pardon me, my voice is going. It's just a New South Wales, where I am in Sydney, also it's going up slightly, but we're afraid that we're going to become like Melbourne and the state of Victoria. So everyone is on tender hooks with this. Can I ask how you got from the USA to Ireland, was it, on June 8th?
It was two flights.
What was that like?
Yeah, well, first was a JetBlue flight, which my sister left me at the local airport at South Burlington, which is just a short little jog just up to JFK. So you fly in and you get a great view of New York as you fly in. And it was a really sunny day on June 8th. So I'd spent my 3 months there, and it was really hard to leave. But I do say that, it was fine. JFK, there was no problems. It was very empty, very empty. There were birds inside in the terminal building. Yeah, there were birds hatching in the terminal building, flying around. But I was really angry with Aer Lingus because I'd paid $50 to go into a lounge to relax for the couple of hours, thinking that, well, that's a safe place to sort of get in. And if the airport was busy, and they took my money, but they never had their lounge open.
Because there was no one there.
Well, nobody there. There's only one flight a day, but they'd still take your money. Yeah, you know, they're good at doing that.
That's a bad thing to do. A very bad thing to do. So you flew on Aer Lingus back to because I know you've been in Europe as well as Ireland. Where did you fly to? Was it Dublin or?
Back into Dublin, yes. And absolutely nobody there. All I had to do was fill in a form on the aircraft. But, you know, they rang a total of like two or three times here to the house, or actually to my mobile. So actually I could have been anywhere. I was, in fact, self-quarantining, isolating at home for the 2 weeks. Yeah. And I worked it out that it would be from like the 8th or 9th to the 23rd. And I was speaking to you during that time. Yeah. It wasn't so bad. It's not so bad for someone like me who does voiceovers. It doesn't really change. They don't upset my party too much. But they certainly can strike fear into people, because everyone in the family and people are worrying and worried about this. And because they're hearing so much propaganda on RTE just seem to just do as the government wish in this country. And they don't want to see, you know, there are an awful lot of demonstrations and things that happen in Ireland and injustices that happen that are never, ever publicized. Yeah. And people, I was talking to a guy in Bulgaria, my hairdresser in Northern Ireland yesterday, and he was saying, oh, no, no. He said, you want to see corruption, come to Bulgaria. And he was telling me all about this pipeline that didn't happen because of the EU and because of the Americans. And, well, it's a big, long story, isn't it? I am actually intrigued and going to research that story now. Yes. But getting back to flying back, yes. I mean, there's, you know, it's just to keep the airlines happy. I wasn't very happy with Aer Lingus, who kept, you know, whilst I was on the flight, which they have disimproved as an airline, I must say. Mm. You know, I fly with KLM where I can, the Dutch airline, and they tend to be very steady and they always give the one type of service all the time. But when you get on Aer Lingus now, it's like flying on just a... not even an upmarket Ryanair. It's just Ryanair with different decor. And so everything is charged. Everything costs money. Nothing is free. So, the you know, Aer Lingus were very well known. They used to give newspapers. They'd give you free breakfast if they thought, you know, you looked like you needed a meal. They're not like that anymore. It's an absolute joke. And then they kept with these announcements saying, wear your mask. But then 2 seconds later, they're coming around offering, would you like tea, coffee, you know, do you like to buy some alcohol? No, thank you. So, I didn't enjoy that. And I just didn't find that they kept hammering this message about wearing masks and self-isolation and stuff. And people really don't need to hear all that from airline attendants. I think when you're on a flight, you just know that I'm wearing my mask. And when they hand me a cup of tea, obviously I can't drink my tea through a mask. So you gotta take the mask off.
I just want to do a station ID here. And this is Bondi Tunes International Broadcasting around the world. I'm Henry in Sydney. I'm talking with Enda Caldwell, who's a broadcaster in Ireland. Enda, I want to talk about the national broadcaster that you brought up very briefly, RTE Radio Television Ireland, which has been on air television-wise in science. It is the only, I think they got RTE2 as well, and a number of digital radio stations in these days. Why is the trust in RTE going down? And why, you mentioned that they're just carrying the government's line. And if they are there any television stations there that can counter that, apart from TV3, if it's still...
Well, yeah, they're Virgin Media Ireland now, and they've had a makeover, but they're the same thing. No, there's not. There's nothing. And, you know, I will. If God forbid any of my family hears this, or people, they'll think, oh, there you go, being negative again, Enda. No, I'm sorry about that. And by the way, let's just re-ID the station you're listening to as, this is Bondi Tunes International. You know, we have to remember that... you and I began as kids in Ireland growing up and hearing Larry Gogan and on RTE, who passed away earlier this year. You know, the Gay Byrne, you know, those men too, that, you know, each person had their own trials and tribulations within RTE. Nobody had it easy with them in the past. And now that they're all having a great junket with certain people getting paid massive and vast amounts of money for, you know, very little talent. And yet you think, well, where did all those guys back in the day? They were having to fight for the few bob that they were getting with the unions. And it just seems that, you know, there's a very protective nature in there of, oh, I don't want to get hire Henry O'Donovan or Enda Caldwell because, you know, either they'll say, well, there has been, or else they're going to take my job. It's one or the other.
Isn't that the way RTE was? I mean, RTE, I had a brief stint, actually, on RTE Radio 2. It was called at the time 2FM.
And lucky you.
Sorry?
Lucky you.
Yeah, well, I didn't last long. I ran back to Nova. The thing is, I found the place is so clunky, or I don't know what it's like these days, but there was a lot of backbiting going on in that broadcaster, you know? The odd one, you know, they took on a lot of Nova broadcasters in the 80s.
in order to steal Nova's thunder. That was the only real reason. And it was a case of, well, we know that these people are trained and, you know, sure, we're kind of looking at them with 10 heads going, well, OK, let's get them in. And so, some would fit and some would allow themselves to take the Bill Gates vaccine in the arm and go, yeah, that's great. We'll do what you say, RTE. Or some would go, nah, F this. I'm gone out the door. So I think you probably bolted.
Indeed. How did you get from, I keep asking you how you're getting places in, you know, in this pandemic, it's hard to go anywhere. How did you get to Antwerp?
Antwerpen, yes. I had
too near Amsterdam, Schiphol.
Yeah, I mean, I continued on whilst the pandemic was on. And, you know, I'm always hustling for voice work. Mm-hmm. And I found this casting and I was accepted. There were 200 applicants and I got whittled down to the last 40. Well, so I still haven't got my decision back yet. But, you know, please God, if not, you know, it's not the end of the world. There's always the next one. Mm-hmm. But it was a great experience. And a friend of mine drove me down from, it's about an hour and three quarters from outside Amsterdam. So it's about 2 hours from Amsterdam. And we went down, actually, it was this day last week, last Thursday. And it was a great experience. Although, you know, Antwerp is interesting to navigate because you got the tram tracks and there's so much roadworks. But we got there and friend drove me down and Ido Peters, actually, and he works at Isla 106. I know it's a terribly anoraki, but we radiotypes stick together. And, you know, it was great that he did that. And I have great crack with him. He worked at Radio Caroline, actually, in the 80s. And he worked on the Monique, Radio Monique, the Dutch, or well, there was a Dutch service. And he had he has some amazing stories about not only Dutch radio, but his experiences of living in England in the 80s and watching Hello, Hello. Oh. And if you remember, that wonderful program was all about the war and Herr Flick.
In Paris. Yeah. In Paris.
Yeah. And René. Yeah. It was.
How much do you think, you know, we're in the radio industry. I run a 2-hour weekly chat show on the station you're listening to, dear listener. We're in this industry. How important is radio during the pandemic, or is everyone just watching television?
Well, I think, I don't know how you've seen, it is Bondi Tunes International, by the way. You know, if you have a look at the viewership or the listenership stats, over this 3-month, 4-month period, Henry, for your radio station, I'm sure that you will actually have seen that it hasn't gone down in any way, that, you know, people are craving, they're looking for the truth. They want to hear things that they believe are credible. They want to hear what it is that they feel will make their world okay and something they can, you know, hold on to, like an umbrella.
I have a music show as well, which, you know, it's a 1-hour music show, music from the 40s to the 90s. And I played Video Killed the Radio Star, which, of course, was released in 1979 and was the first video played on MTV. And I just commented on this on the show. Radio never, ever killed the video star, and I don't think radio will be killed by television in any form, no matter how complex television has become and how everything's high def and all that sort of stuff. But people have a thing about radio. Someone who owned a pirate radio station back in the 80s called Q102 said, "Radio, theatre of the mind." And I've never forgotten him saying that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that he was just ripping off that particular person was ripping off a guy, you know, it was about theater of the mind.
Of course.
I think what Charlie Wolfe said was that every link that you do, and I learned this, was it should have the triangle of trust or triangle. So it can be written on the back of a beer mat when pubs were open and social distancing wasn't in. But if you were looking there, you'd put an I on the top, an E over to the right, and a Y or a U over to the left. And you would say information on the top, entertainment and you. If a link, no matter how long or short, doesn't have those three things, like, you know, it's Bondi Tunes, it's Henry, it's Enda, we're having the chat, we're having the crack, we're talking about the global pandemic, and we're, you know, we're given the info, we're talking about these things, unless you have a purpose, it's not worth doing. And I think the unfortunate part is that when you hear some of these rabbit in the headlights types, people, who have just gotten the gig because they were a social media influencer, because they were big in RTE, or perhaps that they were, are you listening, Kevin? Because they were big in other areas, that they are getting the gigs, but they don't really have the talent to match out. You know, you take a great broadcaster like Pat Courtney, who is almost spun out in the sense of he's an absolute beautiful human, really talented. But I'd love to just win $1 million and say, Pat, I'm going to open Energy 103 again. I want you to go on and do breakfast. And, you know, I want you to have fun again and just do what the hell you want. And nobody to tell you have to play this.
Get
400
Fanula
songs.
Sweeney back on. Yeah. Get Fanula Sweeney back onto that breakfast show.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, we have to get her back wherever she is. But, you know, that sort of thing, and just have fun. And that person knows what they're doing. They will do exactly what you want them to do, and they'll have the crack. And people will start to enjoy and see a different side. Because when you repress someone's talent and you say, well, you must back announce the songs that you play, and well, you must play only these 400 songs. Yeah, that's not classic rock. But you go, well, but where's Foreigner? We have 3 Foreigner songs in the system. Right. You're supposed to be a classic rock station. Great. Yeah. So there's a whole load of things like that. You just format think to yourself, radio, right.
You know, when you look back, we are getting anorexic here. I can't help it. The great Radio Nova in Ireland. It was formatted. But it wasn't anything like formatting today. I mean, you know, Chris Carey, the owner of that station, he was very much into West American
creativity.
Creativity is right. He let people do.
There was a beautiful balance between tight format and personality. But there was also like that the DJs felt that they had an incredible amount of autonomy, even in the sense that okay, they had to play things on the playlist. However, there were still these holes that they had, like your Greg Cochran's. Mm. Would have had 2 or 3 points in the era where he could play something cool that he liked.
Yeah, and that
gave those people an enjoyment. So that, okay, I played that all those cards there, and now I've got a time here that I can play this, and I can look forward to playing X, Y, or Z later in the era. So I'll make it fit. I'll make it work. And that actually made them better DJs, because then people got to know that when they were listening to Greg Cochran, that they would hear this certain style of music and nothing else, you know. And
yes, I just want to point out that I wasn't actually trying to compare the original Nova with the likes of maybe the new Nova in Dublin and Ireland. It's just that things have changed so much that there's a common thing that people in our industry say, and that the men in suits are actually running a show that's a radio show. Let's say a radio station that is supposed to be artistic, and you know, and these guys in suits are just looking at money.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it hasn't made money in 10 years, you know, you have to ask yourself the question, why bother? You know, yeah, and you have to ask yourself, if you're RTE and you're losing money hand over fist, why don't you sell your radio station to some of these other people? You know, why don't you just hand it to them and say, well, let them run it? Because they're not making a great fist of it, any of them. I noticed Today FM as well, you know, there is a Today FM in Australia as well, I know, in Sydney. Yes, I don't know how they're doing in the ratings, but the one in Ireland, it's certainly not the radio station that I would have worked on 20 years ago. And it's not like, you know, it's not like an improvement upon what it had focus when Tom Hardy worked there, but it seems to have completely lost focus now. And it is all about the bottom line. You've two media moguls controlling so much in terms of print and radio media in Ireland. Yeah. They did everything to. We have said this before, but it's now very clear. Yeah, well, that's Murdoch. He owns Bauer. He doesn't own Bauer. What am I talking about? he owns the Wireless Group, who own FM 104, Live 95, LMFM, and they have a whole bunch of other radio stations, even the one U105 in Belfast, 96 FM in Cork. So he's on that side of it. Then on the other side of it, Dennis owns everything. And what he doesn't, what he thinks that you do, well, what you think he doesn't own, he probably does anyway.
Isn't it too small? I mean, isn't this too small? Yeah. I was in Dublin, I don't know when, 7 years ago or whatever. Mm. I went to one building that had three radio stations, and I'm thinking, I don't know, if were they all belonging to UTV or whatever? But it just seemed bizarre to me, because I don't know if they were competing with each other. It just seemed really weird. There's not enough. Is it fair to say, as far as I understand, there was 70 radio stations in Dublin at one point?
Yeah, it's too much. I mean, you know, hopefully the pandemic will have the effect on all business of only the strongest will survive. Yeah. And I hope that would befall radio. It's very sad to say, you know, as the Grim Reaper here. But, you know, if a station like Virgin Radio in Dubai has a target of 90 to 100% in terms of ad sales and target, and it's only achieving 10 of that in a very highfalutin place with plenty of money like Dubai, they can't sell ads. And if you even open a station and offer free advertising these days, people go, well, but we've got nothing, we've got no hot cross buns to sell, because our workers are not, you know, in the old Chris Carey quoting about, you know, man selling hot cross buns. You can't even sell the hot cross buns because there ain't nobody getting up in the morning to make them, because they're just making the basics or it's giving you the ingredients and sending you home with them.
In these days, and it's also a case of the fact that people can't afford to buy those hot cross buns.
That's it. There are, you know, used car sales. You drive by, and I've seen it in the Netherlands. I've seen it in the USA. You drive by any used car lot, and you just look in and you go, wow, full lot. Yeah. You don't see too many people going in going, well, yes, we're going to sign up for the 2020 Toyota or whatever. It ain't happening, you know. And also, if you know, you're trying to sell a BMW now, come on, it's a luxury item, you know. There are things like that.
The best of times.
yeah. Wasn't it Peter Madison who got fired famously because they nicked his BMW, and then he went on air and sort of moaned and ranted, poor old Peter, about it because he nicked his BMW. The Joyriders at the time in the 80s was a huge pandemic of these thugs that would go high on glue sniffing and stuff, and then go and try and find a car, and oh, look, there's a 3 Series BMW. Well, who does it belong to? Peter Madison. Even better, let's nick it. We'll be famous on Radio Nova. So they nicked his car, and Peter's pride and joy. And then Carey fired him because he moaned on too much about them nicking his car. And then I think he rehired him the following week.
And hopefully he
gave him a car or something, you know.
As Chris Carey always did with his broadcasters, although he never annoyed us in the newsroom. In fact, he never said a bad word to us. It was just the DJs he fired. We've got about 3 minutes left up to the bottom of the hour. What do you think is the future with this coronavirus? Do you think that there's a lot of misinformation going on? We've referenced that. Do you think that they're afraid to tell us? Now, I'm talking about the governments of the world, are afraid to actually tell us what's actually going on. You can spat out numbers all you like, but I don't think they know what. I mean, I've heard talk of, you know, they're going to let flights come in from Europe into Australia in January. How do they know this? It's getting worse.
Well, I think you're looking at certain threads here. You can't just go, okay, one rule, one world, one country, one coronavirus. It's not a unifier. It's a divider because, you know, the EU have just had their hoo-ha over the weekend. And basically what I can read from it from the outside, from having... It began in me heading from Antwerp, and the whole thing was beginning on Thursday and Friday, and we were driving back, and there were rumblings that the Dutch Prime Minister had gone to the EU meeting and said, no, we're not going to pay up and give you like 10 billion squillion euro. We're doing very well ourselves. We have a good economy, so we're not going to pay into the massive EU kitty. So, okay, that halted it. They were like, Gestalt, you know, oh, slow down. So they that's why there was a big break over the weekend. And Micheál Martin was left over the weekend in Brussels at this EU conference, along with all the others, because they had
explain to our audience, Micheál Martin is who?
he's the T-shirt of Ireland, the Taoiseach. He's the Prime Minister. Right. Yeah. And he, at this moment, it's a joke, but basically not focusing on him, but all of the EU had to sort of grind to a halt because they weren't getting the yes from all the countries, because some countries were saying, no, hang on a minute, we don't have the money, B, like the Netherlands, no, we're not giving you the money, and C, whatever else. And of course, then Ireland, of course, will agree. And then they had to agree about a green list or safe list of countries for people to visit, so that they're okay, that if you're in Ireland, that you can go and visit the Netherlands. There's an okay travel, no barring restriction. But, you know, it's going to take them a while to even process this info. But apparently it has come through that, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think Ireland has actually, yes, of course, paid in to this EU kitty to pay back Europe 10 either million or billion or something. But that's all that money we will never see back, apparently. I believe that money will just go to airlines to keep them happy. But what this guy is, he's kind of a conspiracy theorist, and he's Irish, and I only picked up on him there recently. And I would urge people to have a look at him. You know, he's pretty angry. But you got to be angry sometimes in this period. And what has he said here? Hang on, where is he? Adrian McKenna, the Adrian McKenna Show. So it's not the Adrian Kennedy Show, but it's the Adrian McKenna Show.
That's
but,
a nice joke for sure.
Yeah. Well, Adrian Kennedy is a good friend of ours and a very nice guy. But he wouldn't
get...
He's at 98 these days, himself and Jeremy.
Around. I can't keep up.
Yeah, well, they got away from 104, and now they're at 98, but they can't have the swearing callers on anymore because they're on during the middays. But anyway, this Adrian McKenna Show, he was saying, my God, he said, wake up, people. He said, you know, the government has just given 10 billion and we'll never see that money back, just like we did in 2008. And then who will be forced to pay for that? And, you know, I was speaking to a good friend of mine who I would respect his economic views. And he said, this virus, he said, you know, it's not just that, he said, it's the fact that all of the fallouts from this, lost jobs, businesses closing, suicide rates, you know, increasing, also all of the other things, and people just not being able to get things going for years. He said, you know, if you look at when 1918 happened, it was the Spanish flu pandemic, yeah. And then it took so long for all this to reoccur. And then, you know, then you look back and go, well, was David Icke such a bad guy, a conspiracy theorist,
indeed,
when he did try and tell us? And were all of these conspiracy theorists, you know, they're you know, how deep are you in as a conspiracy theorist? Do you believe that they, you know, they eat children alive at satanic rituals? I don't know, you know, but there are all the, if you had enough time like I had and read to the end of the internet, I've almost watched I haven't, but there are billions of these conspiracy theorists videos.
I've pigged out on them a couple of times, yes.
and you know, you watch them and, okay, they're on various topics. They could be about wearing masks. They could be about vaccines. They could be about the hospitals. They could be about the economy. You know, there are views for and against, and there are, you know, people, I myself, you try to remain balanced and never seem negative, but you sort of have to, there's an awful lot to digest. So you definitely need an indigestion tablet with all of this stuff, whether or not it's good or bad. What do you think, Henry?
Oh, look, I have a problem with mainstream media. Particularly in Australia, well, that's what I watch mostly. But of course, we've got three North America correspondents on Bond iTunes International. So, I mean, everyone's getting hammered about what's going on in America and the idiot that's running that country. But I am a bit of a conspiracy theorist, I think.
Mm-hmm.
As I said earlier, I don't think that they know what they're doing. And the worst thing they can do is panic people. So the golden rule, if you're running a state, like as an estate in Australia, mm-hmm. or a federal government in any country, the golden rule is not to panic people. So I'm not confident about the amount of information that's coming out of this. Now, you mentioned that we work in the radio industry. I sell wine on the phone as part of my workload, and I'm lucky because everyone's buying wine. It's a bit like back in the 1930s, you know, in the Depression, everyone went to the theatre. People will spend money to cheer themselves up, and in my case, it's wine. A lot of people, as we say, listen to radio, and so people like us are not in a supermarket, you know, being threatened by other people shopping in that supermarket. We can work from home, and I do both my jobs from home. I'm not convinced that we are being told, I'm not convinced we're being told the whole story. But to add to that, I don't think they know the whole story. So, you know, all they're doing is trying to keep everyone calm. And that's where...
Yeah, that ain't working too good, is it? I mean, you know, I have Good Morning Britain on. Yeah, I got Good Morning Britain on, and I've started to watch that an awful lot more because I like Piers Morgan. He's a challenger. Ooh. He at least tries to challenge something. Now, okay, I didn't like the guy. I hated his guts years ago, but he started to begin to make sense. You know, there was a guy called Max Kaiser who worked for RT, Russia Today. I have great respect for him. The guys at London Real do a great job, and they keep getting shut down because they keep trying to do things that are outside the box. Yeah, so if the guys there are listening, London Real, we salute you. And they are valiant in the sense that they try and look at the 360 of it. And, you know, they're still trying to motivate business as well. And I can see that, you know, they have a bit of an agenda in the sense that they want to get, you know, their business coaching things going as well. But, you know, that is important. I think they know what they're doing. And then, yeah, I suppose it's just BBC have let people down.
Yes, I can.
You know, they're very weak and watery.
Is that because of being kind of forced to be? And I also want to, you referenced RT, which is coming out of Russia. The thing I notice about these international cable TV stations is, of course, they've all got an angle, especially an international English service, television news service coming out of Moscow, or let's say Al Jazeera coming out of Doha in the Middle East. Do you think that there's any balance of information where someone is just telling the goddamn truth?
You know, there
used to be the BBC.
Yeah, but the truth is so complicated. Does anybody want to hear it? And when they do hear it, it is not something that they can agree with. They don't want to agree with it. And, you know, there's a huge difference between people who have traveled and those that haven't. And those I've seen through my travels and just being on this, that speaking to an airline attendant at Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, and she was just saying, you know, it's going to be a long time between now and September. And what she means is that a lot can change between this and that. And I don't know what the outcome or how important it is that Donald Trump would become elected or not. But if he does, good luck to him. You know, he's what a fine job he's made of the last 4 years. But you know, what was Obama such a saint? You know, when you look at, you know, was he such a saint?
No.
Are Hillary and Bill, the Lord Almighty, they're very good friends with Dennis. So, you know, you don't know what's happening there. Dennis O'Brien, you know, you know, so who knows? But that said, I mean, I've spoken to Dennis and he's a good guy, you know. Yeah. We talked about an engineer that had died at 98 at the time. And, you know, he spoke very fondly of him. So that was very kind. And I think he looked after his funeral. He looked after the entire cost of it. Yeah, for Peter Gibney. And Peter had worked at Sunshine before that. But you know, a lot of this is not the people themselves; it's the people under them and those that they appoint to. Yes. You look after the radio operation there, but perhaps they're hiring the wrong people to run these radio operations, and that would be a case. But who do you get these days? You know, I would hire John O'Hara out of retirement. He'd be a great guy because he was one of the best bosses I ever had in Atlantic 252.
Oh, right. We're getting anarchy again, but I worked with.
Yeah, why not?
Worked with why not?
Why not? Because we've given into our anarchiness.
We've done our. Yeah. COVID bit, and I know you've got to go on Radio Surf 102.5 FM. Oh, I'm such a DJ. soon.
Well, it'd be all right. I mean, it's no problem. I mean, I do the show almost as live. So what time's it there right now with you where we're recording this? It's almost 3 minutes to nine on Thursday morning.
And it's almost 3 minutes to six in the evening in Sydney.
Oh, that's respectable. How is Bondi itself? I'd love to know just the actual beach.
You know what, Enda? I know you've got to go on Surf 102.5, so just let me know when you have to go, because as I said, I can talk forever. Bondi, interesting case. Under 3 months ago, my girlfriend had to come home and work from home, and you've met Caroline.
Yeah.
At that time, there was clusters of people. Bondi Beach got packed. You've been to Bondi Beach. It got packed. And then there were all these parties around the streets of Bondi, social distancing. They were told to social distance. 28 people in one party alone got the virus. So then they shut the beach completely. And then they opened it again and people started breaking the rules again. And then they shut it again and now it's half open. Bondi is a place where people come from all over the world, as you know. America, actually, the UK and Ireland, but really everywhere. And they spent a lot of good money saving up to go to the other side of the world to have a party, and all of a sudden this happens, and it happens before summer's even over. So Bondi's kind of weird. It just never stops, really. People just keep going and keep going. I think it's in control in Bondi at the moment, but we live in.
So if I was there today, this evening, I could go for a swim in Bondi and not end up on one of those TV shows where they have to get the lifeguards. Oh, this guy can't swim. He's had too many pints with Henry. Oh, no.
Bondi
Quick,
rescue.
He's gone missing. He's been swallowed by a giant shark. But, you know, all the anarchs in Ireland are going, yes! You know, by God, that's great news. Yeah. We can write a post on this on boards.ie or radiowaves.fm. No, I think it's brilliant. I often see my dad watching these reruns and rehashes of, you know, on the beach at Bondi, which that's Christian media. That's like the current news and current affairs. It's like, well, if in doubt, stick on a program off peak or just off peak of what's going on Bondi Beach. And you think to yourself, I've been there, you know, and I go, well, you know, it's actually... Even though, you know, you think it's actually Manly Beach, I more fell in love with, where they did Home and Away, because it's really nice.
That's
really gorgeous.
Home and Away is made in Manly, yeah. But beautiful. You know what, Andy? I think the thing about it is that people love Bondi Rescue, Bondi Vet is another streamed show, I shouldn't say streamed, it's broadcast all over the world, and there's another one. Bondi Vet, Bondi Rescue. Oh, there's a third one. People love seeing the sun and the sand, all that stuff. The branding of Bondi Rescue is really smart. Because
I remember taking the bus out to see you. I remember taking the bus ride out there, and it was kind of surreal. It was nice going, oh, well, here we go. We're going to go to a suburb. And when I arrived, and you know, I can see the charm for people because it's got that kind of curvy thing about it. And I think that, you know, it is lovely to see it. And you go, it looks, there's a little element where you look at it and go, ah, yes. I wonder where Henry is. Have you ever got to appear in any of these things? By rights, they should have you on it.
It's a very funny story. I got I was in another beach close to Bondi, and I got bitten by a very nasty fish. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Stingray.
Right.
A stingray hit my foot, and I was in so much pain, and I hopped in the car with my girlfriend, and we drove to Bondi Beach, because that's where I live, and it had lifesavers, and we knew that there was people on hand to help people. So I go in there, and Caroline finds this hilarious. All the guys who are lifesavers, they all had makeup on for television.
And, right.
And they looked at my foot, and they said, okay, that's a stingray bite. And I said, well, what do we do? They said, do you want an ambulance? And I said, what? Do I need an ambulance? Because they want a drama on the show. And I said, you need to tell me if I need an ambulance. And they said, oh, you'll be fine. And I said, we might put you on air. Just say your name and your phone number and say I agree to be on air. Of course, they didn't put me on air because I wasn't exciting enough or dramatic enough. And I didn't get shown on camera being taken off in an ambulance. And now, the funny thing about this is 2 weeks later, a young, very good looking girl had also the same thing as me. A stingray. And she said, yeah, I'll take an ambulance. Now, she's young, she's good looking, she's screaming and shouting all over the place, and she's put in the back of an ambulance. She made it to air.
Of course she did.
What do you know about that?
Of course she did. Of course she did. But it's, you know, it's down to the Pamela Anderson thing once again. But I think it's great, though. It was great that you did get to meet these guys and whatever. I hope that they don't sacrifice the vanity over the sense of you know, their duty to look after people.
It's a good story. It's show business.
It is.
But they are real lifesavers here. They're just trained for television.
How is that pub, the pub which is the main pub of Bondi?
Bondi Hotel.
We drank in.
Indeed, we did. It locked down for about 2 months. It's open up in a limited way now. So,
Do you have to, when you go in, is it like Ireland? Well, I have to order, like, you know, a big plate of spuds and three loaves of bread, and then I can have like 6 pints of Guinness. like, who's drinking Guinness in this time of year? I don't drink very little Guinness.
No, but the smaller places here in Bondi, they were forced to eat. You're forced to buy food if you're drinking. Now, I don't understand why that is. I don't know how they can strap that onto the fact that there's a coronavirus going around. But the bigger pubs, you can go in there, but they take your phone number and your name, and you go in, and then you allow, in the case of the Beach Road Hotel, which is near the Bondi Hotel, it's actually diagonally across the road from where I live. It's huge. It holds 500 people. It's bigger than the Bondi Hotel. And they could only let 50 people in. So you have to wait for someone to come out before you can go in. And
obviously, I haven't been to Dublin because I want to stay out of Corona Central in Ireland. For example, the Central is one of the bars in Navan, Ireland, that I used to work in. They've only announced yesterday that they're reopening from the 27th, and that, you know, obviously you can walk in and you can do this and do that, but it won't be the same. Obviously, there won't be the bands and live DJs, i.e. me and the band that would have preceded me. That will all be out the window, and I guess they'll be, you know, closing earlier, and you'll have the guards watching them to make sure that they're following the social distancing there and coming in and checking them out. And, you know, so it's no fun. And when it's, you know, when it's no fun anymore, I found it okay in the Netherlands and in Belgium because it was pretty normal. I could go down on a Tuesday night, and I just did that. I went down last Tuesday or Tuesday night week down to a local bar in the village and had 3 pints of Heineken, or, you know, whatever measure it is of Heineken, and just sat there between sort of 10:30 and 12:30 or whatever at night for a couple of hours or an hour and a half, and had a snack and I wasn't forced to buy food in order to have a drink. So that was fine. And midweek drinking, I would encourage it for everybody, but I was fine. And the younger people, I'm 45, but there were a bunch of...
It depends what your business is. And I happen to know from personal experience, you can't interview someone if you're drunk. We got to go. Short-term, long-term, you can't make long-term plans because you're in the middle of a pandemic. Short-term plans, you've been traveling a lot. You've been in America. Mm. You've been in Western Europe. You've been... you're in Ireland now. Do you see travel in the short term?
I'd say in about a month's time, I'd wait and see what the story is with England. I do have a short trip to make there. That might happen. It might not. It might not be essential, so I might not do it. And we have to see how England goes because it's really a hot spot at the moment.
It's a wonderful place, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's terrible for them. But I think if you're traveling and you're sensible, you could almost go anywhere. But we'll see. I just keep getting the COVID checks. I keep making sure that I'm okay and that all around me are okay. And I've taken this on. In the beginning, it was like, it's BS. But to be honest, for an easier life, if you want to travel, it's just easier to just have a mask with you, do the social distancing thing and just get on with it. Do as they say, do, you know, whatever. But not be a sheep. I will not listen to RTE. I will not listen to what they tell me to do. I just think that that's wrong. I like to get my media from Bondi Tunes and other places. And I think in the short term, I'll be just trying to, I have a massive CD collection of over 30 boxes. I've got to sort through those and put them into new boxes. That's a big project waiting to happen. I've loads of radio imaging projects to work upon, lots of irons in the fire with that. Mm. Voice tracking, I'm up to my hilt doing voice tracking. Right? When I get off the phone from you, I'll be doing Surf 102.5 and I'll be on the air from 4 p.m. The time in Thailand. And then I'll be on for 3 hours there. And then I have to record tonight for Pulse 87 New York. I've got to do Radio Mercato International in Switzerland. Jeez. I've got to do, what else am I doing? Radio Isla 106 for Mallorca, Ibiza. Where else? Oh, yes. Global Radio Spain. All of these ones, because, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. So I'm working under the premise of, well, you know, I'm on these day parts on all these radio stations around the world, anywhere but Ireland, because it's almost like getting into the Holy Grail, getting a job in Irish radio because they've got no money, don't want to hire you. And there's a basic pandemic on, so they've a greater excuse not to even want to talk to you.
And also, I find, as I said earlier on in our broadcast, I find a lot of backbiting in Irish broadcasting. I know I'm not going to be hugely popular if people are listening in Ireland. I think that's the way, that was my experience of it, not in the old days, but when I
went
there 7 years ago, it's changed a lot. Ender, you got to do your voice tracking for radio.
Yeah.
102.5, where did you say that is?
Well, that's Richard Jackson's station. Richard Jackson worked with yourself at Energy Power 103 and Radio Nova. And Richard is in Hua Hin. It's a beautiful part on the Royal Coast of Thailand. It's not quite Phuket, but it's on the mainland from Phuket. And it's in lockdown at the moment. And all is sort of very, very zen and very nice there. The format is beautiful. It's like almost working on Radio Nova again. I've huge freedom, carte blanche with the playlist within the format of the radio station, of course. Mm. So I can choose from any categories within 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s today that I like. Everything's been, you know, selected, but you can pick your own songs. You can say as you wish. And once you remind people to keep social distancing and that they, you know, they do their thing. And you don't have to remind the Thai people to do it because it's within their culture. The Absolutely. Asian people are very good.
Absolutely. Look, Ender Caldwell, thank you so much for spending so much time on our show this week. And I wish you well with all your endeavors and we'll keep in touch, okay?
Well, certainly, you know, likewise, too, I wish you well with all of your endeavors. And isn't it wonderful? There are no awards yet for somebody who has dedicatedly run this station through thick and thin. And even now through pandemic, you're still going strong, Henry. And we've lost some very dear friends in the past 11 years. And, you know, for example, Peter and Bob and people like that. Mm. So let's please God, you know, in another 11 years, we'll still be hanging on strong. And that we can laugh about this and perhaps even sit and have another celebratory pint in that Bondi Hotel and look out and laugh at the make-upped lifesavers and have a laugh. So please God.
Thanks, yeah. And we're all in this radio business together. This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.
This is Bondi Tunes Chat with Henry O'Donovan.
Inside the lives of Bondi Tunes correspondents, Ling Pang.
Hi, this is Ling Pang. I was originally born in China and had lived in Hong Kong before residing in the United Kingdom with my family. My childhood years living in the Far East had a positive influence in my life in terms of cultures, customs and traditions, which were interesting, fascinating and educational. I loved the Chinese New Year celebrations and the Moon Festival in particular, when families got together having a feast, followed by the traditional lion dance. Those were the best times for me. I love life in the UK for its histories, architectures and natures that are so unique. UK is the place where I first discovered my love of music. I enjoyed listening to mostly soul, country and pop music, which eventually got me interested in becoming a radio presenter and broadcaster. The best jobs in the world, I think, are sharing great music with my listeners and interviewing people of all walks of life. My children, Tessa, Jeremy, and partner, Butch League, are my world and inspiration. Well, other hobbies I like are line dancing and home cooking. I live a very busy life and love what I do. Thank you, Henry, for having me in your Bondi Tunes team. This is Ling Pang from the UK, and I am the UK correspondent at Bondi Tunes International.
Morning has broken for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
The sun never sets on Bondi Tunes.